Hey everybody, my name is Scuba Steve and welcome to another episode of Inside the Mind of a Blurt. My name is Scuba Steve and today the host will be I'm not gonna lie to you right now, like I just did gloves off with Sensei. Shout out to Sensei the Glove of Worst Generation Hotline, and I am lit. Ooh, I'm lit. So
I just ate part of a brownie.
This is the best part of having the team that I have, where we have rotating co-hosts, because I'm not the host today. So,
oh, you're so right. Shit.
Oh, yeah, niggas. I'm going to be on a lot of holidays. I'm going to holler at you niggas when it's my turn. Hey, please take over. Holler at you, brother.
Oh my god, I forgot it was me. Still gonna be a rotating host. Well, who's the host? Okay, so today's episode is going to be another follow-up episode to Inside the Mind of the Dead. You know, it was a hard drama, you know, podcast we decided to start. And, you know, each member of the pod has their story. Some of these are kind of going to be made up, like, on the spot. Some of them are may have taken time to actually, you know, write theirs or whatever the case is. But, yeah, and so far we've been doing pretty good. And, you know, we got another episode. So today we're going to be starting with Alpha. So go ahead, Alpha, do your intro and go ahead and start your next chapter.
Well. Last time on Alpha's Inside the Mind of the Dead. Excuse me, I just got home from work. Sorry. I happened to be accompanied by a police officer I met after I was trying to take his vehicle, but he was just unconscious for the moment. And we was actually on our way to meet my kids at their house with their mom, because my daughter called me saying that where was I, something's going on with their stepfather and all. So I'm making my way to the house. So I get to the building. Unfortunately, the elevator is not working at the moment. So, being on the 16th floor, I had to run up them stairs. Luckily, I had the baton that I took from the officer. He allowed me to hold on to it. I get to the door. The door's open. And I see my son and his mother holding the bathroom door, because their stepfather's trying to bust through it. And I'm like, what's going on? Something happened. He just started acting crazy, like, out of nowhere, like, let me take care of it. Move from the door. So once I open the door, he lashes out at me. And I'm fighting him off. And out of nowhere, you hear a gunshot. Boom! So the officer actually shot him in the head to get him off me. And I'm just in shock. And I look over, I'm like, why he look like that? He's like, I don't know. He just had a heart attack or something. Like, he just stopped breathing. And then he woke up out of nowhere and started trying to attack us and all that. So he just locked him in the bathroom. I'm like, are y'all okay? Y'all okay? Their mother's like, yeah, I'm fine. It's just like I got a little scratch. He gave me a little scratch. I mean, a little scratch. Now, like, just trying to like fight him over. I got a little scratch. Are you? You seen these zombie type movies, right? Like, yeah, I have, but I should be fine. Simone. It don't work like that. You know that, right? She's like, I'll be fine. All right. Avery, you good? Yeah, I'm good. I just, you know, I had to show my manpower just a little bit. Thank you. See, you learn from your daddy, not your mom. Leilani, you all right? Yeah, just, I'm very scared. Why do you have to shoot him? That's not your stepfather no more. You remember that movie we watched the other night? Like, yeah, with the zombies? Yeah. That's what he turned into. Oh, and this is my 14-year-old daughter at that. So she has an understanding of what's going on now that she put two and two together. So making sure everybody's okay, I'm like, okay, since we all together now, we got to go see grandma to make sure she's okay. So there should be enough room in the cop car. Officer, I never got to get a chance to get your name. What's your name? I'm Officer Chris. Officer Chris, Alex, Leilani, Avery, Simone, and the guy dead. You got to worry about his name. So is it all right? You could take me to my mother's house? She's like, sure. Like, once I drop you off for your mother's, we could part ways with me because I got to check on my family too. It's understandable. Like, and plus the precinct's not too far from there, so you could check on the other officers as well. Like, all right, cool. So we drive to my mother's house. So I'm calling my mother, trying to see if she answered. She's not answering. Keep calling. She's not answering. Keep calling. She's not answering. So I call my neighbor to see if she could check on my mother, see if everything's okay. She answers. I have my neighbors like, knock on the door, see if everything's right with my mom. She's knocking. Not answering. Like, you got the spare key I gave you? Like, yeah. Open the door. You sure? Just check on my mother, please. All right. Open the door. It's Tina, you there? It's Vita, you there? I'm on speaker. Ma, where are you? I'm okay, I just fell. You sure? Yeah, I'm in my room. Okay, why couldn't you see your phone? I'm old, I can't get up and get to it. All right, we on our way. Vita, can you just stay with my mom until I get there? Sure. The end.
Okay. Well, with that, you know, you got Alpha. He done managed from leaving from his job in the middle of starting of a outbreak to almost stealing the cop car to becoming somewhat cordial acquaintances with the cop long enough for him to get to his still youngish children. They're not babies, but they're still young children. And now he's going to have to get to his mom after having a bit of panic because she wouldn't answer the phone nor door. So with that, you guys will have to find out what Alpha is going to do next. So with that being said, we got our next person who's going to follow up. It's going to be Steve. So Steve, go ahead and hit us with the new chapter and pick up where you left off.
So we all got our pistols and we got our guns and shit, and we all ready to go and find Skylar, who is in, you know what I'm saying, like 30, 45 minutes away. So we all get in the car and we're loaded up and we ready, and we start riding up the street. You know, we riding down 35, we thinking, oh, we ready for this apocalypse. We're ready. And we get there and we get on the freeway, and then all of a sudden we see traffic. And there's traffic and we're riding in traffic. And then after like 45 minutes, we realized that not only did we realize, we noticed that we're not moving. There's no moving. We're stuck in the area that we are, and there's no more progression. So we all get out of our cars and we decide we're going to foot it because there's no progression. We can't move any further. and we're strapped, but you know what I'm saying, as far as a vehicle, that's it for us. So we start heading in the direction of Scholar, because that's really what we're searching for. So we start heading that way, and we're progressing, and then we run into this guy named Greg. And Greg is like, hey, you don't want to go that way, man. Like, there's nothing but danger and monsters and things like that. And I was like, look, we have to go that way. We, like, my daughter's there, and we have to go to that direction. And he's like, no, you don't need to go that way, and blah, blah, blah. And we decide, like, he's got good information, and it allows us to be cautious. But push come to shove, like, until we see nothing is going to progress from going that direction, it is what it is. So we go that direction. And we're going, and then there's a zombie. He pops out. He screams. And this is our first encounter with a zombie, so I shoot. Bam. I shoot him in the chest. And if you guys don't know, like in the military, we're taught center mass. That's what you aim for. Because no matter what, center mass is going to kill somebody. There's no limbs for you to cut off and for you to attach, and then you be limbless or nothing like that. Center mass is where it's at. So, bam, I shoot him in the chest. And he gets right back up, and I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm panicking. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then my daughter shoots, bam. She shoots in the leg. He drops a little bit, but he's still functioning. He's still moving. So then I give him a shot. Poof, in the chest. Nothing happened. I'm like, what's going on? And then it hits me, because I've seen enough zombie movies. I'm like, all right, so he must be a zombie. It just finally hits me. I'm like, I know it doesn't sound real, but fuck it. And I shoot him in the head. Bam. And he stopped moving. So that's my realization that, oh, shit, we're in a zombie apocalypse. Like, fuck. So we go and we keep continuing down the road and stuff like that. And there's animals and things like that. And we kind of just, you know, we kind of just let the animals be, because it ain't been nothing but a few hours, you know what I'm saying, maybe a day or two. And we're just like, we're not killing random ass wildlife, just doesn't make sense. So we go, and then we get to my fucking daughter's middle, to her college. I'm saying, and we get there, we're looking all over for our caller. I call her, and she doesn't answer the phone. And I'm just like, man, I'm just really scared for Skylar. And I keep looking, and we're all looking around, and we finally go to where her dorm is, which is Thomas Moore dorm. I don't know if that's the real dorm, but that's the one we're going to use for this show. So we're going to Thomas Moore and Thomas Moore Hall, and Skylar isn't there. And we just keep looking around, and we keep looking around, and finally we run into a zombie horde. So Nessa shoots, bam. And then she gets a headshot, because she knows now that it's nothing to be playing with. So I shoot, bam, bam. We're clearing out zombies. And that's when we see it. We see the one and only Skylar. Skylar's a zombie. She's one of the Walking Dead. And it breaks our heart. You know what I'm saying? We're all hurt. We're heartbroken. Because we came all this way to come get Skylar. And Skylar is already part of the Walking Dead. the end?
Well, shit. Didn't see that coming. Bro, you just knocked off your firstborn.
I had to, man. I had to give some twists, man, and people was acting like they didn't want to fucking do it, so I did it, man.
Oh. You...
I'm gonna cry.
Wow, your firstborn. That's how you do them? I guess you say you got number two and number three still, so you... Number one don't matter? Wow.
So I did it, man. I want to cry, but you know what I'm saying? I'm a real nigga. Mm-mm. Can't cry.
No, you ain't not a real nigga. Like, at all.
I could have changed. I have the power to change this, but I didn't. It felt good for the story. Mm. So she'll enjoy this.
Yeah. So as you guys heard, this young man has knocked off his firstborn. That's crazy. Knocked off his firstborn. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead. You want to get that last bite? Oh my God. So with that being said, you just heard that Steve did all of that to make it to his firstborn to see that she is a part of the mutated undead. So with that being said, we're gonna move on to our next person going to give us a new chapter of their story, which is going to be Bo. Bo done did it. Bo kicks it, or, you know, Bo, why is this doing this? Let me know. So, go ahead, Bo.
When we last left off, basically, Chloe is about to be in the fight of her life. She's about to fight two mutated zombies who are slightly intelligent and have combat abilities. And the two dudes I'm rolling with, one of them got bitten, and it looks like he's turning into a zombie. And the other one is driving, and I'm in the backseat looking at him, like, turning into a zombie, and I'm, like, freaking out what to do next. All right. So, that's where we are. Excuse me. So, let's see how we're going to do this. Let's start off with me, because, you know, it's my story. At this point, as you know, I'm going to get two guys' names. So we're going to call the guy who is turning into a zombie, Brad, and the guy driving John. Okay, so Brad, who is turning into a zombie, so I'm like thinking to myself, you know, thinking back, you know, and having a flashback of, you know, how life was like, you know, for the zombie apocalypse, you know. I was just chilling and, you know, having good times with my girlfriend and, you know, having it laughs and doing all kind of stuff that will, like, you know, stupid couples do nowadays. You know, just having a good time. And then I come back to reality and fucking Brad looks like he's having a seizure, turning into a fucking zombie. And John is like, what's going on back there? I'm like, he's turning into a fucking zombie. Well, we got to... What we're gonna do? I mean, God, kill him. Like, no, Brad's that son to John. John's like, no, don't kill Brad. Brad is my friend. I'm gonna find a way to save him. Like, bro, he's turned to a zombie. Like, there's no saving him at this point. Either I die or we all gonna die. You know, either he dies or we all gonna die. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, man. So we crashed the car because, you know, John wasn't paying attention to the road and he's crashed to a bunch of zombies and, you know, cars twirl and then hit the pole. And then, you know, I'm like trying to engage my consciousness in the car. And I'm like, you know, feeling all woozy. Brad looks like he's knocked out. And then, John looks like he's knocked out. And then I was like, you know, trying to regain my thoughts and, you know, composure. And then I found out that, you know, Brad, who was turned into a zombie, is somehow gone from the car. I'm like, where the fuck did Brad go? Like, you know, thinking to myself, like, well, this can't get any worse. I'm like, next thing, Brad came out of nowhere, and beat John Wayne's unconscious. I'm like, ah, I'm like, ah, shit. And then before, and then as you know, Brad is eating John's, like biting John's neck off and stuff. I'm like, you know what, John? I told you so. You know, we're going to, like, you gotta kill him. Cause, and then, you know, after I said that, you know, I'm trying to get my way out of the car. And if I'm aware, you know, trying to get away from all the zombies that's outside. So I found this little place that looks like it's safe enough for me to, like, you know, hang out. Which surprisingly, it was a gun store, which is kind of like, you know, a good thing because, you know, I kind of need something to protect myself. And guns are the best way to go in zombies. If there's one thing I learned from playing zombie games, if you need guns, guns, and bigger guns. So, and always aim for the head. Anyway, so I packed whatever guns I could find, that some ammunition. I grabbed at least a double barrel shotgun, it's also saw off. I grabbed the saw off. And then I carried two M9 pistols, you know, because, you know, trying to look like, you know, I'm Tomb Raider in this bitch, in the zombie apocalypse. So I got two pistols and some ammunition and a bunch of grenades, you know, so I could be prepared. And I was just waiting for the moment to, you know, make my move and figure out my next plan. As I'm doing that, Chloe and her friends are about to have the fight of their life, fighting two zombies who somehow are smart enough to, you know, bob and weave and have some kind of combat experience. And, you know, so apparently the pilot was in the helicopter, and the guy that beat the pilot in the helicopter are apparently military guys, who one was to work in the Air Force, another one was like a U.S. Marine. So, how I know this? Well, it was basically on their badge, so they were kind of wearing their uniforms. That's how Chloe could find out. But anyway, so Chloe is trying to figure out what she's going to do, and her friends like, what's going to do? And they started, you know, they try to shoot the zombies. Next thing, the zombies are dodging and waving all the bullets, like, you know, like the Spider-Man with reflexes, you know, dodging bullets, making backflips, and, like, you know, doing a double somersault, like, you know, like the Animatrix. You know, so we're shooting. And then, there's Zoe, Chloe, and her friends run out, they're all around bullets, and the first zombie that attacked came towards Chloe, but Chloe immediately brought her combat knife and stopped the zombie from, like, biting her with her knife. And, you know, the other two of our friends, they're trying to fight off the other zombie who somehow knew, who I said are very, like, combat efficient. It's very cool. It's very trained in martial arts. So dude's, like, doing, like, you know, flying kick, like he's Liu Kang, you know, like, you know, what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So he was doing, like, you know, bicycle kicks, like his Liu Kang, flying kicks, you know. So apparently, luckily, some of Chloe's friends know some martial arts. So it's just, like, you know, one of those hand-to-hand combats like you've seen in anime, like, you know, like Kakashi and Obito fighting in hand-to-hand combat kind of shit, you know. So they're fighting. And next thing you know, there's an explosion. An explosion came out from far away. And they struggled the zombies enough to the point that, you know, Chloe, like, Chloe was about to get beaten because, like I said, Chloe, like, stopped the zombie from biting her with a knife. So as soon as they heard, like, a loud noise from afar, they struggled the zombie, and Chloe, like, drew the knife from his teeth and then slit his neck. And stabbing in his forehead, killing the zombie. And the other two trying to still fight the other zombie off. Chloe was also helping, but the other zombie ran off as soon as they heard the big noise. And then Chloe and her friend was like, "What was that?" "It came from over there." And then she was like, "Isn't that the area that Bo is at?" Yeah, it was the area, so it's going for. We should go over there and see if it's all right. and let him know about the helicopter deal. Like, okay, cool. So back to me. So what back to me now? And, you know, I'm like, I was the one who was making the noise. So I threw a bunch of grenades to like explode the zombies because the zombies was coming in hordes. And I barricaded myself in a store place that was, you know, sound safe. And next thing I knew, I thought I was the only one in there. I guess I was wrong. So apparently the dude came out of the shadows, was like, well, someone is still alive, huh? And then I'm like, who are you? Then he said that his name is Dr. Dr. Jacob Smith. And he was like, you know, he was part of a superhuman project that turns, you know, that makes people, you know, become stronger and superhuman kind of shit. And then I'm like, really, that's interesting. I'm like, yeah. And then he was like, you could say I am part of the cause of this. And then I was like, what? And then, you know, so I realized that, you know, we found a clue of how this zombie apocalypse came to be. And, you know, figured out, you know, that this doctor was part of a project that was basically like, you know, top secret. Now, Bo will have to, like, you know, try to see what's going on. Who is this guy? Was he a reason for all this? Did he, like, you know, was it the cause of all this? Why? What does it mean that he was part of the reason that it's all going down? And then that's where we're going to stop at.
Oh, well, Bo. So, looks like you stumbling upon some important information later on down the road. So with that, yeah, that might definitely be important. Bo went from getting in the chopper to hopefully, I guess, finding a way to save us or save himself and his peoples. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and start mine. So with me, when we left off, I was actually inside the hotel. I had managed to get out of the office and I'm in a hotel room. I had to, you know, steal a key and get into a hotel room because I just needed to take a break. I was tired of running and I was in panic mode and, you know, a girl got asthma a little too much and she down. She down for the count. So we'll go ahead and get started from there. So now that I'm inside of the hotel, I sit there on the bed thinking, what in the hell is going on? There's absolute chaos in the street. People are screaming and running. Cars are running into each other because there's been a huge blockade because other cars have crashed and stopped, and it's just beginning to be a big pileup outside of the hotel. But through all of this, I still have not been able to reach my husband or my two kids. And my kids are actually relatively young. They aren't even like fully into their preteens or anything like that. So I'm actually pretty worried. So I try going to the hotel phone and I try reaching out to my husband. And although this time, surprisingly, I'm able to get through and it actually rings, I'm not getting an answer. It just rings and rings and I try 4 or 5 different times and yet I still get no answer. At this point, I rather would have had, you know, a busy signal or something rather than the phone to keep ringing, because it just sends my mind spiraling, wondering what's going on with my family. At least if I had a busy signal or the operator, that at least it's like, okay, well, there's a chance they can't get through because it's happening everywhere. But no, I was able to get through and it just continued to ring. So at that point, I understood that I could stay here and camp out for safety as long as I can. But one, my family doesn't know where I am. Two, I'm eventually going to need food and water and other things. So I have to decide whether it's worth it to just stay up here in the comfort and then just hope for the best for my family, or go out and get into this mad shit and figure it out. So after thinking about it for a while, I decide that I'm going to have to go out there to my family. As much as I would like to stay in this safe place, I gotta weigh my options, and I'd rather be wherever my family is and get to them as soon as possible. So at this point, I leave out of the hotel room, I go back down to the lobby, and it's an absolute mess. There is broken glass everywhere, tables turned over, the desk, the front desk, there's nobody there. There's a phone hanging off of the hook, and you can hear it's quiet. Although it's in a complete disarray, it's absolutely quiet. And you can hear the dial tone from the phone. And as I walk towards the door, you can hear the crunch of the glass as I step on it, walking through the lobby. And it's almost like being in a secret bubble. As soon as I stepped outside of the lobby into the streets, millions of sounds started coming at me. It was like I was inside of a absolute silence-canceling bubble, as there was cars going off, alarms going off, people screaming and arguing with each other, and just absolute mayhem, as I said before. So at this point, I take off running. I'm like, I can't take a car. I want to. I can't take a car, because they're all backed up and crashed into each other. So maybe if I run down further, I can get to the front of this and maybe get into a car that isn't blocked and get to my family. For now, I'm going to just have to go ahead and run through. So I'm running. And while I'm running, I'm trying to shake and dodge out of the way, because people are absolutely going insane. And there was someone who tried to reach out to an alley from the alleyway and bite me, which was absolute madness. But even though I had someone try to bite me, it's still not clicking in my head. Like, there's a possibility this may be some form of mutated zombie or the undead, whatever it is. It's still not clicking in my head what this possibly could be. My own main concern was getting to my family. So I'm running. And so I get to the end of the block, and it's actually pretty clear, but it looks like there's a barricade up ahead. If you go further, there looks like there's a barricade. There's like actual barricade equipment up ahead. And I get to the point where I'm almost there, and you hear, "Ma'am, please stop. Turn back around. This area is restricted and you cannot cross." And lucky for me, I thought he was talking to me, but there was actually someone else, because there were a few people who were at the barricade. And I thought, me being the newcomer coming up, that he was who he was speaking to. I was who he was speaking to. But it was actually another woman behind me. And as I realized they're not talking to me, I turn around and I look, and it's a woman. She's standing there, breathing hard, face to the ground, just breathing. And I asked her, I was like, "Hey, ma'am, are you okay? Do you happen to know, I know you just got here like me, but do you happen to know why they have us blocked off? Like, what the hell is going on? Is there like a parade, or was there an attack or something? What is going on? Like, what's going on?" And she just stands there, and her breathing picks up even more, not answering me. And you can see her shoulders rising up and down going faster. You can see her chest and stomach going in and out as her breath picks up. And as I go to look behind me to see if I can find somebody else to ask, she looks up and half of her face is gone. You can see where it looks like something basically grabbed her jaw and cheek and just peeled it back like an unruly orange, a resistant orange, like it had peeled the skin back. And you could see part of her teeth, because weirdly enough, she happened to be missing her back set. Now, her back set, I don't know if she lost that before or after the attack, but she's missing part of her back set, and you can see the side of her tongue in her mouth. And when I say that, I gasp. I said, ma'am, are you okay? What the... I'm sorry, pardon me. What is going on? And she continues to breathe. And she lets out this loud screech, like as though she's in pain or as though she's lost her mind. And she tries to lunge at me. And as she tries to lunge at me, I throw myself back, but I lose my balance a little bit. And I trip over myself, you could say, and I fall over. And as I fall over, she falls too, because she wasn't able to launch herself at me accurately the way she wanted to. And she turns her head towards me and she screams again and she starts to kind of crawl, run to me as I have tried to get myself up and take off running. And as I'm taking off running, she's over here crawl, running like something out of the fucking Exorcist at me. And I just take off. And as I'm taking off, you hear gunshots. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. And what the heck was that? And I make the mistake of looking back to see where exactly the gunshots were. And as I turn around to look back behind me, bam, one of the bullets happened to hit the lady in the head. And she falls over. And I slow down to a slow trot, as I actually had to get a little ways away. So I slow to a slow trot and I start walking. And as I'm walking, I'm looking around me, looking all around to see what's going on, because it's starting to get a kind of quiet in this area. And as I'm looking around, I realize that I've been walking, but I haven't been completely paying attention, almost on autopilot, to realize I don't know where I am. Because the way that I normally go is blocked off. I don't know if by local police or is this military or who it is that's holding us back. But I normally go that way. And that's the easy and quickest way for me. So I don't know any other way to get home from work. So I stand there and I think, well, if I just keep going west like I would normally, I'm bound to run into a cross street or something that for me to get by. But at this point, as I'm walking, the west, which would be me turning to the right, would lead me into a dark alley. There is another street on the end. I can see the light of the opening on the other side. But just something about the quiet. Almost like you can feel something out there waiting, watching. Or it could just be my nerves. You know? It could just be my nerves. There has a lot been going on. So I go down the alley. I start walking. And I'm looking around, you know, checking the scenery, looking behind me, look in front of me. But you can still hear the click-clack of my shoes as I walk down the alleyway as it is quiet. And you hear a bottle roll, and I freeze. I look around. It's just a puppy. A little puppy decides to run from behind the garbage. And I'm like, oh, I would take you with me, but hell, I don't even know where I'm at right now. So I continue to walk by, and the dog decides to follow behind me because I guess he thinks I'm way more friendlier than I guess. At this point, I don't even care. So I get to the other end of the alleyway and I look. I'm like, okay. So at this point, even though I've gotten through the alleyway in front of me, instead of me being able to continue to go straight, are houses. So I have to make the decision whether to go left or right because I have to start heading back west. So I decide to go right. I figure if I can't go this way, then maybe I can still run into the main street, because at this point, my point is to hopefully run into a cross street or a street that is familiar to get back to me. So I actually continue to walk and I actually get to a main street. I get back to the main street. And as I get to the main street, I say a little prayer that I'm able to get back onto the main street so I can get to my family. But behind me, I do see that the barricade is starting to look overrun, because you can hear, I'm far enough, but you can just hear the small sound of gunfire every so often. And it sounds like it's starting to get less and less. I'm not sure why, but I don't want to find out. So at that point, I decided to just book it. And I've come into another problem. There are cars available. I could take one, but I just realized I don't know how to hotwire a car. So, and thus far, all these cars look like there were people parked at home. So there aren't any loose keys or anything around. But lucky for me, somebody's got a bike. And I take that bike and I pedal and I pedal. And I'm making my way. And I look down at my watch and I see I'm making pretty good time. I hadn't had a specific time set, but I'm making pretty good time to get to my family. And as I continue to pedal, I finally make it to the opening of my neighborhood. We happen to live in a partially gated community. Part of it, it's gated in the aspect that you have to check in with the security before coming in. But it looks like the security guard is partially hanging out of the security booth, and there doesn't appear to be anybody else up front. And at this point, I don't have time to check on them. So I just pedal to my house. And when I get to my house, the door is open. The door is wide open. And so I rush into the house and I say, slightly above a whisper, "Leah, shine. Leah, shine." And I'm calling out my children because I just walked in and the door is open. I don't know who's here or who's not here. And if there's somebody who's not supposed to be here, I don't want to yell out and give away my location. And at this point, I'm still yelling Leah and Sean. And I hear a small, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And I say, "Leah, Sean, come to me." And then I hear, "Shh, Mommy, be quiet." And I ask, "Why am I being quiet? Where are you?" "Mommy, shh, be quiet." And then I hear a loud thump and heavy feet. And I'm like, "What the hell?" And as I'm continuing to walk, the closet door opens. And there's my oldest, Leah, with her brother, Sean. And she pulls me into the closet and closes the door quickly and quietly. "Mommy, something's wrong with Daddy." "Well, what's wrong with him?" "I don't know. He just came into the house and he just broke the door, Mommy. At first, he was just turning a knob. And I asked Sean, I said, 'Sean, did you forget to take the big latch off the door?' And Sean said, 'No.' And then I got to thinking, maybe Daddy's having trouble with his key." And as I went to go and check and just let daddy in, mommy, he busts the door open. And when he busts the door open, he tried to bite me. And did he bite you? No, he didn't. He didn't bite me, but he tried. And it was so scary, mommy. And it scared Sean, too. Yeah, mama, it scared me. So, where's your dad now? He's in the house, mommy. He's been trying to get us, but I'm scared. Well, let me go and check and see what's going on. No, mommy, you have to wait here. And right as she says that, you hear fast footprints. Feet fall, start to come down the hall, and we both freeze midway of our conversation. And we stop there, and the same time we stop talking, the footsteps stop moving. And so we are in absolute silence, waiting and wondering who's going to make the next move. And that's where I'm going to stop. So that's where I'm going to stop. Here we are. So basically, there's a high chance my husband has changed, or either this nigga is strung out hard. I'ma hope he's been changed, cause I don't know if he's strung out on something. He may have come back to steal our good silverware. But so that's where I'm going to leave you guys off. So, as you've heard, you know, Steve, his oldest, is out of there. Alpha, you know, he's got to get to his mama. And Bo may be able to find somebody who may be able to help the world, but who knows? And then me, just got to find out what's going on with my husband. So, with that being said, we're going to move on to our next person, which is going to be Abe. So, Abe, if you will go ahead and update us in your next chapter.
When I left off, I had swung at someone who I thought was infected. But they may not be infected because I did not see any bite marks, albeit it was dark. Nonetheless, we're going to continue from there. After moving away from the body that was collapsed before me, Abe decides to continue moving on. There's no point stressing out over what looked like a zombie attack. And given everything that's going on in society, who knows? Second guessing is death. So as I make my way down the street, I start hearing more noises coming from the broken, ransacked buildings. I'm just hearing these weird noises. Some of them sound like soft moans. Others sound like chewing. Others sound like the chomping of teeth. And as I look, I can't really see much. It's so dark. But I'm on guard. I'm alert. Because I'm not going to get caught slipping, you feel me? There's no way I'm going to get caught slipping during what could be a zombie apocalypse. So as I continue down the street, I pass by a car. You know, it's pretty quiet. Windows are all up. Windows are tinted, too. Pretty nice car. It looked like a Mercedes S-Class, you know. Real clean, real smooth. All black, everything. And as I passed by, I hadn't noticed that the driver's seat door was slightly ajar. So as I walked past it, all of a sudden I get hit in the back. And it's from the car door. And I stumble forward. I catch myself before I fall. And I immediately turn around. There's no one behind me. Just the car door ajar. And of course, it's like, all right, you know what? My mind is racing. It's like, all right, maybe it's not zombies. Maybe it's demons. Am I dealing with ghosts? Like, is this hell on earth? And that kind of frightens me more, because then you got to deal with a source that you can't, that is not tangible. So how am I supposed to combat against that? How am I supposed to deal with that? Like, look, sir, I am not experienced at exorcisms. So, like, what's really going on? But as I turn, as I look at the car door, it's just eerily quiet. I'm debating whether I should inspect it. But as I mentioned earlier, hesitation means death. So I slowly back away, keeping my guard up, my eyes on the car door in the surrounding area, making sure nothing comes out of the other side of the car. You know, no sneak attacks. I've played Call of Duty before. I know what diversions look like. And when I get a good enough distance away, about 20, 25 feet, I slowly turn and continue down the street, every now and then looking behind me, until the car is eventually out of my field of vision. At this point, I've been walking for what must have been about 20 minutes. So I've walked about, 2 miles at this point, and I get to the precinct because that was my target. When I get to the precinct, it looks uninhabited. And I'm caught off guard by that. You know, whatever's going on, you would think that this would be one of the first defensive strongholds. But no. The lights were on for sure. But the front door to the precinct was just broken. The door was off its hinges, open ajar. Cars were open, but messed up, you know. The hood was missing off of one police car. The lights were going off on another, but no sound. And it creeped me out. It really did, because I didn't know what to expect. So I'm debating again. Once again, hesitation means death, right? So as I'm standing there, just trying to determine whether I should explore the precinct, look for survivors, look for anybody who can help, maybe raid the armory, I hear shuffling from behind me, coming from the direction that I just walked. Immediately, I think, like, oh, snap, whatever was in that car is following me. I turn around, spin around real quick. I see nothing. But again, it's nighttime, and I'm already naturally a paranoid person. And so the shadows just start to stand out to me some more. And I'm looking. I'm looking at these shadows, and I'm wondering, okay, what's going on here? What is happening right now? And, you know, that's where I'm going to stop the story right now. And we're going to continue on with the rest of this episode. We appreciate you for tuning in. And again, shout out to Cam for setting this all up. Can't wait for chapter 4 when it drops in May. And that's Prince. Prince is out.
All right. Bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-bum-bum. Let's get time for Bo's news. Bo done did it. What he do? The news. Bam. Go ahead, Bo.
Thank you, Cam, for the nice, really lovely intro. All right, so we're going to start with some gaming first. So, for everyone who are still interested in the Harry Potter game coming out soon on the PlayStation, I think it's only on PlayStation 5, so don't quote me on that. It might release on PS4 and PS5. But anyway, they do have some news. So the game is going smoothly from what the developers has said. Apparently, the game will not be releasing out, coming out this year. It'll be coming out on 2022 due to the fact that the game developers want to make sure that the game is well polished and, you know, won't have any bugs or too much bugs in game of release. We all know how that turned out for Cyberpunk 2077, and well, it was bugging out. No, very buggy. And then let's see. We have Outriders, which is coming out basically by the time that you hear this, which I'm not sure when it's gonna come out, but it'll be out on April 1st. So Outriders is a 3-player co-op game where basically blowing up shit is the main goal of the game at this point. So if you like blowing up shit, blowing up heads, blowing up bodies, blowing up and destroying shit, Outriders is the game to go. And lucky for you, if you're a Game Pass owner on Xbox or PC, you can get to play it on day one without having to buy shit. While everyone on the PlayStation Sony side has to pay a whole $60 just to play the goddamn game. So, yeah, I know, kind of sucks to not have Game Pass on PlayStation, you know. You know, I can understand how you feel jealous about Game Pass people, but, you know, it is what it is. And that's it for the gaming part. Now, for, like, other news. So, I don't know if you guys remember the guy who wasn't the black actor that played Scrubs. Is now has a role in the upcoming live-action Powerpuff Girls coming to CW. For what role he'll be playing, we don't know as of yet. All we know is that he's being cast. And, you know, it kind of makes me wonder how the CW live action Powerpuff Girls going to be like. You know, how is the professor going to be? Who's going to play the professor? Who's going to play the mayor? Who's going to play Miss Barbara? I think that's her name. I can't remember. Basically, the redhead chick, that the mayor's secretary that we don't know what she looks like, her face looks like. But anyway. I'm trying to see who plays all those characters, you know, but it'd be kind of fun to see who plays them. All I know is that I hope the mayor gets played by Kevin Hart, but that's too much of a thing to dream for because, you know, the mayor is short. So, what else do we got? Oh, yeah. So, Black Clover episode 170, the last episode of Black Clover for now. We don't know if there's going to be more episodes in the upcoming future, but apparently Black Clover is now caught up to the manga, so they can't release anime and go past the manga, you know. I mean, it goes to release filler, but then again, it kind of feels weird to release the filler when the in an arc that is currently ongoing and it looks like it's about to be intense. Austin is about to get even more sore. And more stronger and faster. Apparently, and there's also a movie announced for it as well. So Black Clover is announced to get a movie coming out. We don't know when, but it is confirmed that the movie is in the works. The producers, directors, and all that kind of guys, you know, that play a part in the anime, show some visuals about what it's gonna be like, and you know. So basically, they have like All-Star in his like badass armor. I don't know what it looks like. What I don't know, you know, maybe it's, you know, he becomes more like connected to his devil side that's in him. You know, maybe that's what's going on. But who knows? We're gonna find out how the movie turns out. And let's see what else is out there. Well, nothing eventually, because that's all I got to say about. Yeah, that's it. And that's it for my news, you know. So stay tuned for Noel Bowles news on our next episode of whatever we're gonna talk about. Yeah.
All right then. Thank you, Bo, for leaving us with that great news. So with that, you know, guys. We are going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of Inside the Mind of Blurs. Again, thank the guys for coming through with their parts and their stories. And with that, you know, as always, same place, same time, every time. And oh, in case you guys didn't know, like I always say, interact with us. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, you know, same Inside Mind of Blurred. Go ahead and become an It Mobber. Go ahead and interact and talk with us. Our store is actually open, so you can actually go to our Twitter or Instagram and find our link tree. So you'll have find all our social medias, and you'll also be able to get to our merchandise store and maybe even get yourself a pair of socks and help Steve push his whole sock agenda that he is kind of dead set on. Like, that don't make no sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely go to our store, and soon, if not by the time you guys hear this, we'll hopefully have the Patreon up and running. And if not, if it isn't by the time you hear this, please be looking out for our Patreon and go ahead and, you know, check us out, sign up. So again, thanks for joining us for another episode of Inside the Mind of the Dead, aka Inside the Mind of a Blurred with the It Mob. And you guys have a wonderful day, night, week, hour, whatever it may be. You guys have a wonderful one. Out.
Bye.